hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie. And Mama, say hi so they know that you survived.
Hi.
We survived.
We survived the blizzard. It wasn't a blizzard. It was a freeze. It was a freeze out.
A deep freeze.
Yeah.
Negative 50 below zero wind chills at some time.
Right.
At some point.
Right.
We did have ground blizzards, which I didn't know that was all a real thing, but we had ground blizzards.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Saith the king of weather. Tom mm-hmm. Skilling.
Yeah.
He said ground blizzards are very popular and common in the, you know, when the snow is blowing and it's on the ground.
Oh, well, I knew that we had frost quakes.
Yes.
That's another Tom Skilling thing.
Yeah, frost cakes.
No, frost quakes.
Frost quakes.
Yes.
I'm really been interested in you're frost like, cakes.
You're a little hungry right now.
I am. I'm a little hungry right now. I really want the frost cakes.
But you know what? It is interesting and yet it's boring. To talk about what we
weather.
Went through.
I know. So we will pass but on for, it. We survived.
But the weather was one thing. But for 48 hours, we three were huddled, and Elliot.
Yes.
You, me, and Dad, and Elliot were huddled together for 48 hours. And there was no fight among us.
No.
There was no contention.
No.
There was
contention.
Was
there
no, some contention?
Not really. No.
I thought it was pretty interesting because we got like... closets cleaned.
What we did was we chose to do things we wouldn't normally do.
As together. Yeah.
Together. Because when we're all three together, I'm typically going or coming, and or Dad's coming and going, but we were all forced to be together
yes.
for two full days.
Right. Forced.
Forced.
Right.
You couldn't go out of the
no,
house.
You can't. Your eyeballs freeze within
yeah.
3 minutes.
Exactly. And then, you know, luckily, because, you know, when that happens and you know it's coming, the first thing you want to do is buy provisions. So we had some food that we don't usually eat.
I love it that we call it provisions.
Yes, I know. Like, we're going to be dying.
We were kind of embarrassed because, like, Julie left Walmart with about 12 bags of popcorn.
Different kinds,
yes. But the lady goes, you know, we're thinking provisions. You
yeah.
know? And she goes, oh, football,
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl provisions.
Getting ready for your
yes,
for
yes,
sure.
Of course.
Well, you know, your eyes are just definitely bigger than your appetite.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you want to try new things. So in the popcorn realm, I'm not a big popcorn eater. I mean, I'm like literally.
You literally are not.
I'm not.
You're not.
But they've come up with the most unusual flavors of popcorn now mm-hmm. on the sweet side.
Yes.
Which is horrible
yeah.
because I'm a sweet girl. And I preferred them not to have done this. Like kettle corn popcorn. Oh, my God. And kettle corn popcorn is different than sweet and salty
mm-hmm.
popcorn.
Yes.
And then they have black and white popcorn.
Which is my favorite
which
now.
Which is chocolate
drizzled popcorn.
And white drizzled popcorn
yeah.
all together.
Yeah.
And then you have your caramel corn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your caramel corn cheese.
Yeah.
And your cheese. And then you're just movie time popcorn.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, I'm like, Mom just told me to buy popcorn.
Because
we're going to binge watch Bodyguard on Netflix. Which
awesome,
which we did do.
A six-hour movie.
Yeah, it was a six-hour movie.
Yeah.
And I loved it because it actually concluded.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yay.
You know what I'm loving about me? I'm turning
Tell
into
me.
A British girl.
You are.
Like, you know, that Brit box?
Yeah.
I like Bodyguard's a British show.
Yeah.
Everything is CCTV there.
Yes.
I would recommend 6 hours of Bodyguard. It's probably made up a book.
Right.
Feels like it.
It feels like it, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, then I'm into Father Brown.
Yes.
And that's, I'm on third season, you know. That's another British show.
Yes.
I finished all of Miss Fisher's murder mysteries.
Right.
Miss Fisher, yeah, and that's actually she's Australian, but
yeah.
she might as well be British. Has that same sensibility,
right?
But it reminds me when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of Sunday afternoons when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
It was all, you know, kind of like PBS, or it was like after you get home from church, you just kind of take a chill pill and watch like Miss Marple,
yeah,
or Sherlock Holmes,
right?
You know, one of those things are Hercule Poirot,
right?
And all that British stuff makes me feel like that.
Warm and fuzzy,
yeah, just warm
just
and
like
fuzzy.
Home. I yeah. want to call BS though on some of the shows I have been watching. I mean, I'm now seeing. Because I see everything through the lens of a director.
Yes.
Or through an editor.
Right.
Or a cinematographer, whatever right. you call the person.
You're all in one.
Yes.
At this point, we're just everything.
We're just everything.
We,
Pick
we,
up the
we,
damn
we
iPad
act,
and shoot.
Produce, direct.
And so I
edit.
Love Father Brown because It's the same environment. I mean, their studio that they film on is this little English, you know, village.
Yeah.
And I go, oh.
Don't you love that?
Yeah, and there's no real special effects. No. So everything they film, I go, oh, yeah. I can do that. Yeah. And I get better at seeing it.
He's just the parish priest of this little English village in 1940s, although we are getting in the 50s now.
Yeah, end of World War II.
And the clothes are reflecting it. The sensibilities are reflecting it.
To me, the cars seem older.
Yeah.
But maybe that's because
because they don't have that many new cars yet. Yeah. Father Brown is a bicycle rider.
That's right. So the cars they do have are old.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to go call BS on The Bodyguard, because there's one scene in The Bodyguard, and this woman... Literally, one scene is this. The woman, I'm not going to tell you the scene, but she's having to throw a rope down from like a first story window and climb down and then climb back up. Mm-hmm. And of course, we don't really see this. Mm-hmm. We see it. We see her throwing it over. Yeah. We see her getting slightly on the rope, on the ground, and then climbing and her leg back over the ledge.
And then it all happens about 15 seconds.
And I just say, big, big, big BS. Yeah. Because also, they're not cheating either. You know, like, remember in the good old days when you were supposed to climb a rope, you had a progression rope. Like, the first rope had these big knots in it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and you could use the knots to climb up. And I'm like, I was good at not climbing rope. I could get to the top. I was good at that.
I'm good at not climbing.
Screw
rock climbing.
Exactly. Screw the rock climbing. I'm good at not climbing. And then once you got good at it and you touched the top of the ceiling, which I think nowadays we shouldn't be doing that. I mean, I bet insurance policies are like, you're not going.
Come on.
Because how in the world does a 4-inch padding protect you when you're touching the ceiling of an auditorium? It doesn't. It doesn't protect you. But it's an illusion to feel safe. And then the next one is a rope without the knots. And if you get points, like if you go quarter up, you get some points. Halfway up, you get some more points. Mm-hmm. If you get all the way to the top, mm-hmm. you win the challenge and you get an A for the, you know, for gym that day or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so our goal was always to jump as high up as we possibly could, because some of us could jump at least a quarter. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be like, I'm a quarter up. Mm-hmm. And if you stood there and held tight for like 4 seconds, you got the points. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you would try really hard, you know, to move up, but I just couldn't figure it out without the knots. This rope did not have any knots, and she was just a normal mom, nurse, and I just called BS. Mm-hmm. I was watching this week in the middle of the morning. USA has on...
NCIS?
No, Chicago NYPD. No, not Chicago NYPD. That's New York Police Department. Chicago Police or Chicago...
MD, PD.
Yeah, it's the police department. That. And I love this show because it's so not real, but it is our reputation. Mm-hmm. Because we have a rep for being this hard-ass city, you know?
Right.
And like... I don't know who the lead actor is, but he's a good character actor, and he's got a lead role. He's also he used to be a Scientologist. Don't know if he still is. He was interviewed in The Clearing or the one HBO documentary, and he would talk about the crap that went down there, and it was hardcore. You talk about police Chicago rep, the Scientologist, man. Those guys are hardcore.
The Chicago Scientologists are hardcore.
Yes.
What?
No. I'm just comparing his life as a Scientologist. You know who the lead character is in this show?
No, I don't really.
Oh, man. I don't either. Oh, well,
but
anyway.
That's okay.
Okay. But anyway, there's a scene. There. So we follow one of the precincts in Chicago, and they have one of the like interrogation. They're really a hardcore group. Mm-hmm. They're like the Rangers.
Like Chirac.
Yeah. They're like the Rangers, right? Except what happens is like, so there's a chase scene and they're all chasing this one bad guy. And you've got Sophia Bush. You know her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And her partner, who is this real tall, beefy, good-looking black dude. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, and they jump out of the car and they're chasing the bad guy, and they're chasing for I swear must be a half mile to a mile, and during this chase, Sophia is always in the lead. She is always running faster, and like. No matter where they're at, like, she's climbing up the ladder, mm-hmm. and her partner literally is 10 steps behind. I'm like, dude.
This big black guy.
I mean, you are one fit, handsome dude. I know in less than 3 seconds, you could take her speed-wise.
Right.
I go, let's
So you're calling BS on that.
I'm calling major BS. Right. Unless he's holding back because he wants to be polite, because mm-hmm. she
or
probably has
in case she falls. Right. Just got to pick her up.
Or like, hey, I don't want to come across as an aggressive man, so I don't want to beat her. I don't want to pass her.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what the dealio is.
I don't know either.
But I just thought, come on, BS on that.
I'll tell you a BS moment in the Bodyguard is at the end, our hero has a bomb strapped to him. A big old bomb and one of those
Spoiler alerts, not. It's okay.
What?
No spoiler alerts.
No, I'm going to tell you exactly. One of those hand things where you have to hold with your thumb. Kill switch or whatever. So if he lets go with his thumb on the thing, he blows up.
Right.
And so here's the BS. He's like that for like 8 hours, nine hours. And at one point I go, guys, you couldn't hold your thumb on this thing that long.
Right.
And at that point, he goes, luckily, my thumb is in spasm.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh.
But also, his thumb is taped down. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm sure he is pushing down. Yeah. But it's also taped down. So, it gives it a little bit of help.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, just put your hand on top of your,
or you know. Step on it. That's what it ended up doing. He put on more tape on the. He put the thing on and put more tape on it.
Yes. You know. If you heard that little thing there, I dropped my mic.
Julie, drop.
Mic drop. Exactly. So, but it was so enjoyable to watch the 6 hours.
We had no guilt.
No guilt.
Couldn't do anything. Couldn't go out of the house. Uh-uh. No mail. Couldn't do anything.
And then we woke up, though. The first day mm-hmm. of our Siberia experience.
Right, really early.
Really early. And we had committed the night before saying, let's do something different.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, we've been watching on Netflix the Marie Kondo method, mm-hmm. which we wrote the book, The Clutterfly Effect. Yeah. Get on Amazon, people. Yeah. Please support our radio show. Buy it on Amazon. Yeah. We get a little money for that. And The Clutterfly Effect, tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life. We believe in decluttering. And so... But so I'm attracted to things that deepen my understanding of decluttering. And like tidying, oh, it's such a sweet little word, tidying.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Oh, no, she's hardcore.
Oh, no.
She's hardcore in a little pint size.
Yeah.
Like, I love messes.
But she is hardcore.
And so what we had planned on doing was, I go, let's tackle things we wouldn't tackle. And... things that we can get done.
Mm-hmm. One of the things about Marie, though, is that one of her rules, if we haven't talked about it, is that when you decide to tackle like a closet or something, you must bring it all out into one pile. You don't just like
piecemeal.
No.
Or piecemeal on it. Yes. You can piss on.
But you bring it all out.
I have thought about having the piss method myself. It's I put everything out and I let Elliot just like give him a day and whatever he hasn't peed on during the Siberia episode because he wasn't peeing outside. Yeah. Little son of a gun, we had to put paper down because he would refuse to, you know, it's like, I'm not going out there.
But he kind of liked to go out, but he wouldn't pee because it's too cold.
It's too cold.
Like, it's nice, but get me in, guys.
Exactly. You know? So whatever he didn't pee on, I kept. That was my new
method. That's your method. You know what?
Sorry.
Netflix could give you a special.
Could they?
Sure, sure.
I need one.
I give everybody one.
But you're right. So she didn't mean to interrupt you. I had that crazy thought in my mind.
Definitely.
But you're right. She does say, whatever you're doing, you bring it all out. Now, mm-hmm. That's not our method. We have a specific, in our Clutterfly book, we talk mm-hmm. about clearing the clutter. And we don't have that method. No. We don't use that as a method because we don't believe in overwhelming you.
But she does.
And
it's very purposeful. You must see.
Yes.
It's important that you really see.
And she would also recommend put the pile where you least want it because then you'll deal with it.
Yeah.
such as
On Your Bed.
On Your Bed. And so the first one we did was we did the closet in the front. Mm-hmm. We keep miscellaneous stuff. You know, you have your all your jackets, you have shoes, you know, just miscellaneous.
We do.
You do, but you know.
It should be the closet where you keep your umbrellas, basically, as you leave that house. But right. Oh, no.
And so we brought a big, we came to your bedroom, and I put a big sheet down.
Right.
And then I just started bringing it all in.
Yeah.
And about halfway through, you said, oh, great, is that it? I said, no, it's not it. And I said, Mama, you promised me that when we did this, you would do your best not to invoke Mama of Tone.
Right, exactly.
She's like,
Not to judge. We're just doing this.
Right.
And then finally she goes, I think this is the last of it. And now for the tubs.
Yes.
Or the actual laundry baskets of things. And there was like three or four of those.
I brought them along.
It's like amazing.
And you're like, this all fit in that closet. Yeah. I go, it did.
It's this very small closet.
It's a very small closet. We all fit.
Yeah.
And we end up giving away. And when you see it all, your first hit with this emotional, all the money we spent.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you think of. Like, really? I had to do all this?
Yeah.
And
you just look at it as energy spent.
Energy spent. Mm-hmm. And then energy collecting.
Right.
And, oh my God, there's things I didn't know I had.
Right.
Because
That you forget because they're piled away and you've bought something else.
Because one of the things that we talk about in our book is to store things that you don't use typically in 6 months or a year, and you store it. Mm-hmm. And you just write down on paper what it is. Mm-hmm. She doesn't believe in storing stuff.
No, she doesn't.
I don't feel. It's like,
no,
hey,
she doesn't.
Keep everything out that you can see so you know what you need. And then at any given moment, you know where it's at. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you waste a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I get that.
And she also has this one philosophy. Well, she has two that I like. Mm-hmm. Once they're on the floor, these things are, she has... after she's, you know, respectfully prayed and blessed things, she wakes things up.
Right.
She'll wake up, because they've been asleep.
They've been asleep.
For a long, long time.
Yeah.
And so she wakes them up so that you may know if it brings you joy.
Yes.
If what you pick up when you want to brings you joy, and then she says, is this a piece that you want to take into your future? Because most people go, oh, this is so sentimental to me. Well, is the piece sentimental or is the memory? And do you want to take this into your future? You
right.
know?
And she
very good.
When we did when we used to do Clutterfly our Saturdays, we used to,
yes.
for 4 hours, we get together.
It was so much fun.
It was. And every half hour, we do a process.
Yeah.
And then after the process,
yeah.
you'd go do some clearing and clutter.
Yeah.
And you do a process because it does emotionally tax you.
Yes.
You have emotional connections to this stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't know what to get rid of. You ask yourself, do I need this? Mm-hmm. And then you also have a little guilt. Mm-hmm. You deal with the condemnation that you have in your head.
Yeah.
Even though you think to yourself, well, how can I? And you need a coach sometimes or a buddy saying, hey.
It was really fun. We used to start like at 8 a.m. in the morning on Saturdays and finish at noon. And people would call in like every half hour, every hour.
Yeah.
And we'd meet for like 10 or 15 minutes and do a process. People would discuss what they found or what they did.
Yeah.
And we really did a lot of work during those 4 hours.
We did.
I remember people going, oh my God, I found this, you know, one thing that I'd lost. And it was really interesting.
It was very interesting. Yeah. We might want to think about doing it again.
We should.
You know, it'd be kind of fun. But it was, so we did got the one closet done, got it done. We had a couple of bags of Goodwill, and I'm counting that as seed money, you know, giving this away.
Yes.
And then we did Normano's clothes. We took all of his clothes out.
Yeah.
And then once again, your energy dropped.
Yeah.
You're like, oh. And then we got through.
Mm-hmm. Had another I was copa. Always amazed at the things he wanted to give away.
Yeah.
And the things he wanted to keep. To me, they were just opposites.
I know. That's so true.
So weird, right?
Yeah. And you had to deal with it.
You were working on it.
You're like, how do I get this done?
Yeah. And I remember at one point you go, Mom, when do you want to do it? I go, no, there's just no way I want to do mine.
No.
I'm going to have to be emotionally ready to do mine.
And possibly just you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not,
but I am not ready.
Yes. And then we tackled
of the guilt.
The laundry room.
Yeah.
And that was wild because so many times what happens is you have these free spots that just become junk drawers, drunk closets, drunk rooms. Am I saying drunk?
You're saying drunk.
I say holy.
Yeah, the frosting cake? The frost cakes?
Yeah, frost cakes.
And now drunk rooms.
Drunk rooms.
Okay.
I've been on a sugar high for the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And today I'm back on low carb, healthy fats, all that good stuff, you know, and so forth.
But your brain is still a little.
My brain's a little still drunk. A little bit carbo high.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit affected.
You made great pasta.
We hadn't had pasta in months.
Yeah, it was great.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that popcorn.
Yeah. And then I.
You made cookies.
I made cookies.
Oh my gosh.
And
monster cookies.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. It was a good week.
Yeah.
I made a half a batch. That's what
thank
we've learned.
Thank you, Siberia.
Yeah, thank you, Siberia. And we were trapped in the house.
Yeah.
And it was guiltless.
Yeah.
It was
that's
guiltless.
The problem. It was guiltless.
And the other problem is my stomach could not hold what I really wanted to eat. I mean, we have a bag of, which we could save for the Super Bowl day.
Yeah.
You know, Tostitos with chili and cream cheese.
We had pizzas
you know,
in the freezer.
Yeah, never touched the pizzas.
No.
You know, my stomach just couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
like,
we had, our eyes were bigger.
Our eyes were bigger than our
the thing that I enjoyed the most was I want to say your monster cookies, but the problem was that you forgot to buy the white chocolate chips.
Yes.
And said you bought butterscotch.
Yes.
It was good.
Well,
they were great.
Really, I didn't buy butterscotch. I had bought butterscotch a month ago, mm-hmm. thinking that we were going to make oatmeal scotchy sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And I just had them.
Got it.
And I'm like, well, thank God I had some kind of chip.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
They were fine.
Yeah.
And you might never even notice if I didn't tell you.
I probably wouldn't have.
You
said that to me, yeah.
Because they tasted just the same, kind of.
Pretty much,
but the
yeah.
white you would have missed.
Yeah.
But you may never have noticed.
No.
So that was wild.
Yeah.
But... the energy of being forced someplace, mm-hmm. I can see why people need to go away and have like a retreat,
mm-hmm.
or close yourself off, turn off the cells,
mm-hmm.
turn off life for a day,
mm-hmm.
and have a forced retreat.
Yes.
When you knew you couldn't go out,
mm-hmm.
couldn't go for a ride,
mm-hmm.
the stir craziness left.
Left, totally left.
There was none.
There was none.
There was none. There was no expectation
mm-mm.
of going out.
No.
It felt so awesome.
I know.
You know, the only problem was...
Are you going to talk about not having Netflix for a day?
That was horrible.
That was horrible.
I had to call up, and then, you know, we would get part of the day, but not all the day.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
And that's just our, for whatever reason, we don't get Netflix 24/7.
No.
We don't know why.
Because it...
Do you know why?
No, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I've called Dish. I've called our internet provider.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's been able to help me. I guess sometimes they say, we'll call Netflix. I'm like, it's not a Netflix problem, I don't believe.
Mm-mm.
Because I can get it in my Hopper, but not my Joey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's to the point where if I could find a different way, and then I would get rid of them all.
Yeah.
And you guys would be like, sorry.
Yeah, I would. Wouldn't you love to just give the finger to all that?
I would.
Oh my god!
You know, I miss my HBO with Bill Maher.
Yeah, I miss Bill Maher.
That's something I really miss though, Bill Maher.
Me too.
And I probably should watch that on YouTube. They have the after show on YouTube.
Oh, but do they have the show though? The actual show?
No, I think you got to actually purchase that. I guess I don't know
how.
I mean, we could buy HBO to go, and then just watch it on the computer.
Oh.
We could do that.
HBO to go.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So it already has to play, or can it be live? I mean.
That can be live.
Because Bill Maher is live.
No, it'll be live.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you get used to not seeing it, right?
I used to look forward to Friday nights.
I know. And now you don't as much.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So I have to address that issue.
Maybe.
Maybe
he's good. Is he still good? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know if he's good.
Yeah,
enough.
It's like the world keeps going round and round.
Yeah.
I don't know. It keeps moving. Who knows?
The world just kept moving, and we were huddled like a frozen mass.
And then
is that part of the Statue of Liberty
thing? Well, it was funny. Yeah. That's exactly what it says on the Statue of Liberty. It does. It says
huddle
that.
Like frozen masses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it kind of mean more like give us your huddled frozen masses.
For sure.
What does it say in the Statue of Liberty? I want to know.
Give us your tired personalities.
I think it says give me your huddled frozen masses.
I'm going with it. Sure. It sounds.
Alexa, what does it say in the Statue of Liberty?
I don't know that one.
Of course
you don't.
She's been disappointed lately.
See, she was off. She when we lost our computer for a week, she died then.
Yeah.
And she has never been the same. No. When she came back, she used to talk to us. She used to say, "Hey, thank you. All right. Good." She used to know me.
Yeah.
And now she's like, "Sorry, I don't know that. Something happened to her."
Well, I think it just shows like with most human beings. I mean, you know, things, they never come back exactly. Like Pet Sematary. You remember
Pet Sematary? Kind of like Stephen King.
Yeah, you never come back.
They never come back quite the same.
Quite the same.
Yeah.
And it's never an improvement necessarily. It's just different. Different. She's spinning around and throwing up everything. You know, the one thing I did tackle, though, with this method, because I have decluttered my room several times, and I get rid of clothes periodically.
Yeah, but that's really different than what she does.
Which is take everything you own and put it on your bed.
Yeah.
And I tried that.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is pretty wild to see this mound of clothes that you own.
Yeah.
And these are all the seasons. It's not, I don't store my clothes.
Right.
So I have enough space that it's all just out.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. If I want to wear a short sleeve shirt in the wintertime, I'm going to wear a short sleeve shirt in the wintertime. And I'm going to wear a light long sleeve shirt in the summertime. I'm going to wear a light sleeve shirt.
Well, aren't you just fashion?
I know.
Okay.
So, but I was able to get rid of two whole bags to Goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun because I'm going, and you know,
the
she's good, all
the
about.
The Goodwill guy's getting tired of seeing us.
I know they are. But this part about giving
when
you
he
joy.
Goes like, when he goes like this, he goes, "So you're the one that called and said you have like 8 Omaha steak boxes."
Yes. I go, "I have 8 Omaha steak boxes. Will you take them?" "Yeah, we'll take them."
"Take them."
Great. But, you know, it's interesting because she's all about joy. I just don't. I'm pretty content and I have joy in my life already. So none of these things bring joy to my life, but they do take it away. Mm-hmm. And so
smart.
In my mind, it's like what takes away my joy.
Right.
And that's what I get rid of.
That's what you get rid of.
Because I'm like, why? I didn't buy this because, I mean, everything I own for the most part.
What if something that you own takes away my joy?
Well, I have. Okay. The truth is you had, I gave you 4 passes. I said, "Mom, you are allowed to pick 4 things from my wardrobe that even if I adore or wear, you're allowed to say, no, no, no.
Julie.
I'm calling the mama card. Mm-hmm. This is my birthday present. Mm-hmm. I got 4. Mm-hmm. 4 cards.
One of the things that I've given you darling little fluffy house slippers.
Yes.
But you have this penchant for these things that are basically, it's your 3 sock method.
Yeah.
It's 1 pair of sock and they're usually like a dark pair, like black or something.
Yeah.
And then over that there's these like fuzzy kind of like turquoise blue socks.
Yes.
They're bigger and they're kind of fuzzy and they go over that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these sort of knitted
multicolored,
almost confetti.
Yes.
They look like confetti colored. Yes. They're sock like, but they're tubes. They're like big old tubes go over your feet. And that's what you wear for like beautiful little house slippers.
Yeah.
So those are things it doesn't give me joy, but it kind of makes me laugh.
Got it. Well, it's interesting because those socks, when I bought them, were infused with aloe. That was the big thing. They're aloe-infused socks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're no longer aloe-infused because I've worn them. But I don't like wearing house slippers.
Mm-hmm.
My feet are actually warmer. Mm-hmm. And also because little Elliot, he will take a house slipper and I will find, and he will hide it in his secret hiding spot.
Yeah.
Now, my socks, he doesn't usually take off my feet.
Yeah.
But I do. I like to wear 3 pairs of socks. I don't know why that's an issue, but it's so true.
It's not an issue.
No, it's not an issue.
Not anymore.
Once I
realize that that's my girl.
That's your girl. Yeah. She's a 3 sock.
Yeah.
And depending on.
It's so interesting because we literally have looked at all these clothes, okay?
Yeah.
And in the meantime, over the last several months, you and I have, in our secret times, you know, talk about having, you and I, we should have a uniform.
Wardrobe,
you know,
yes.
Life with the girlfriends, uniform. We should have a uniform.
Yes.
You know, Christine, Marie, and Julie, there should be a uniform. Like, when you see a certain person, you see their uniform first, you go, oh, I know them because that's what they wear.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we're getting there. We want to have a uniform.
Yeah.
But then when I looked at all these clothes and I was thinking about, but I want a uniform. And I'm like, I got to buy one more thing.
No, you don't.
No.
You have a uniform, a nice pair of slacks, and a nice top. A uniform.
Yeah, I guess.
You just got to let that go, girlfriend.
The uniform thing?
Yeah. I mean, because you can pull one outfit out and go, this is my uniform. Mm-hmm. And then you can wear that when you do the show. You can wear that out. That's fine.
Yeah, because people want to go, oh, I think I know that girl because of her uniform.
Yes.
That's what I want. Like, oh, that's Life of the Girlfriends because they have that uniform.
Yes.
Which is that T-shirt that says, you know,
I see jokes, people. Yes. Do you want to wear that every day then, that T-shirt that says, I see jokes, people? That's your lifetime uniform?
No. I mean, I do have a picture in my head of the uniform that I want, though.
Tell me.
V-neck white T-shirt, kind of like 50s, the kind really like that you could put a cigarette pack of cigarettes in the shirt,
yeah,
and a black leather jacket,
yeah,
kind of like the guy from Greece.
Yeah,
who was that guy?
John Travolta.
Yeah,
Squiggy. No,
but similar.
Yeah. By
that's
the way,
kind of yeah. like the uniform that I want. So I'm being serious.
Seriously ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't care. But somebody go like, oh, man, she's that white T-shirt, black leather jacket
girl
with the cigs in her. Yeah, it's Christine Marie and Julie. That's Life of the Girlfriends.
That's right.
I see jokes, people.
Yeah, I see jokes, people.
And then they go, oh, I know them because they have a uniform. What about you? You mean you had the same uniform? Then we go, at that point, it's just Grey Gardens.
Exactly, Grey Gardens. I refuse to have the same uniform as you. I mean, who are we? I just think.
So you have to be different. You have to have your own uniform.
I have to have my own. But then that's not a uniform.
Yeah.
That's just my style. My sense of style.
Yeah.
You have a sense of style. It's a little retro. little, you know, on the wrong side of the track. Yeah. That's your style.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm proud of you for having that style.
Yeah. Well, when anybody sees me now, if they see me in the black leather jacket and the white V-neck shirt, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe I have a comb I carry.
Yeah. There you go. I see the look you're going for. Yeah. I thank you for painting this picture. Yeah. I find it to be a very good picture that you're painting.
Thank you.
I like it. Talking about I know, when you look at all your clothes and you're going, like, the one thing that I have the most of, what do you think it is?
It's not underpants.
No, I do have I have a whole drawer of underpants. I just typically wear the same ones over and over again.
Okay.
I wear a couple. I wash them.
But that's what Marie's point.
Yes. You typically wear the same stuff anyway.
Because of the way Americans like put things in drawers,
yeah,
you use the same things over and over again. But the way Marie puts things in drawers, you get to choose.
Yes,
you
exactly.
You have a choice.
Well, that I have to admit, it's been fun seeing
that's
my clothes
fun.
Like that.
Yeah.
Because instead of my clothes.
Everybody's going, what are they talking about?
So you know how Americans do this? Yeah, they stack their tops one on top of each other, mm-hmm, in a drawer,
mm-hmm,
or slacks. You know
anything. And so when you go into your drawer, you take
this top one.
Yeah,
like, oh, I like this top one, but you have one on the bottom that you never seen. It's a beautiful top that you like to wear,
yeah,
or a beautiful pair of slacks.
Yeah.
So what you do is you fold them in a certain way. It's fold them in half again, and in thirds, and then you put them
like a tent
stacked up,
yeah,
and so you can see literally all your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fun part. So I open, mm-hmm, my top drawer, and then this top drawer is mostly my, like, my undershirt drawers, like things you wear.
Your undershirts. Yeah, girlfriend.
You know,
undershirt.
You know, like the Dago tees. Yeah. I don't know how you call them.
Yeah, you wear your Dago tees out.
I don't know what they're called. But they're just...
Tank tops?
Tank tops.
Yeah, okay.
I probably have 20 tank tops.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, just for a variety of different things, right? Different colors. And then, but now that I have them all lined up, I realize that when they're on sale, I do buy them. And I no longer need to have a turquoise tank top because I have three of them in a variety, slightly different
of turquoise. I know.
Just slightly different. Yeah. I'm not a big turquoise girl. No, I probably wear these turquoise maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
But it's so colorful to see them all in my drawer. I just take a picture of it.
You should.
Same thing with my underwear. I've got my underwear all standing up straight. So I can see them. And I'm attracted to
them. Because they can?
They can. Because they can. And I go, oh, I like this one. This one has a pretty print on it.
Yeah.
Or I feel like I'm just a basic white kind of girl, vanilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, nice little hot pink. Woo-hoo. Yeah. Yeah. You know, depending on what's going on for the day, I may have to have. And, you know, and I can honestly say that the only. I do have matching underwear and matching bras.
Mm-hmm.
If the underwear is white and the bra is white, or the underwear is black and the bra is black.
No, they're matching.
And then beige. I do have a beige bra and a beige pair of underwear.
But the beige used to be white.
Oh, there you go. Ba-dum-bum. Sorry, Greg.
Sorry, Greg.
Didn't mean to say that. By the way, my brother just texted me during this time. He knows I'm doing the show right now. But I want to do a little shout-out, Greg, because I know you hear this later on in the week.
And, hi, Greg.
Hey, Greg. How you doing, man? And yes, I will show your father the video. I don't know what this means exactly, but I just glanced down. So I'm curious what this video is all about.
Well, he texted us last week, or I think, and he said, tell dad I saw Eric Johnson, who does Cliffs of Dover or something like that. And you had told me about it. And so when Norm came home, he didn't see it. But when it was like 5:30 in the morning, and I asked Alexa to play Cliffs of Dover by Eric Johnson, and so he was sleeping, and so he woke up to Cliffs of Dover, and he just cried.
He cried.
And I'm like, okay.
Okay, I don't get it.
I don't get it. I go, is it sentmental? Did something happen during when they were making Cliffs of Dover or something?
I have no idea.
No, not really. You just cried. Sentimental. And cried.
Good to know.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. So I would say this, watch the Maria Kondo method. Is that his name?
Kondo.
Mm-hmm. I gave it four Sherpa hats out of five.
Yeah.
There are moments
They're sweet moments because they have different families and everybody has their own thing.
Yeah, some of the families annoy me, but that's
Me too. Some of the people in the families annoy me.
I like the way they edit it because you don't get the same part of the method every single time.
Right.
So you learn a little something different every time.
Right.
Do you remember the order, Mother, that she makes you do your tidying?
Yes.
Tell me.
Clothes.
Yes.
Books.
Yes.
Clothes, books. Kimono, paper, kimono.
Mm-hmm.
Kimono means bathroom, kitchen, and garage.
Yes. And miscellaneous.
Sentimental.
And then last is sentimental.
Miscellaneous and then sentimental.
Yep. And it's funny because we didn't do it quite like this.
No.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Because like we're, and the only problem, and I we do talk about this in our Clutterfly book, is that when you start decluttering, you tend to make a mess first.
Yes.
And we want you to avoid that. She doesn't believe in avoiding it.
No.
She's like, oh, no, get it all out there right now.
Yeah.
And
she's like, oh, I love it.
And then you're more motivated to get it cleaned out of your life.
Yeah.
And it's
so different than just cleaning your house.
Oh, yeah, it's completely different.
Yeah.
But I do love, this is a different philosophy for me, the idea of like seeing everything you own.
Right.
At all the time so that you know what you have.
Yeah.
And I guess because she lives in Japan, now she lives in America, but there's not a lot of space. Mm-hmm. So literally you do see what you own.
Mm-hmm. And also too, like she loves folding. You know, when we were kids, I'd go to the laundromat with my mom and my mom would like grit her teeth as she was folding, you know, volumes and volumes of clothes. But I would help her, you know. So as you get older, you get faster.
Yes.
But you realize she believes that folding is a sacred art.
Yeah, a meditative state.
You get to fold. And when you stop and you slow down just a little bit and then you fold properly,
yeah,
there is something actually sacred, which means kind of kind of holy mm-hmm. about it. You know,
it's also a stress reliever. If you get into that state, don't resist it. That's the key. Don't resist this process mm-hmm. because if you use gain, it's kind of nice because the mm-hmm. smell is nice.
Yes.
And or you can put lavender in your clothes and you're going, this just smells peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the process of caring for the things that you've bought.
Yeah.
There is something.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah. There's something mature
there's
about
this. There's a caring about it as opposed to just like, you know, shutting things away, just buying crazily, not yeah. really knowing what you have.
Having therapeutic, you know, shopping.
Yeah, everybody goes, oh, you know, shop retail therapy.
Yeah,
something
retail
like that.
Therapy.
Yeah. And I think that it's been an American thing for so long that nobody even thinks about it. You know, like,
yeah.
oh, I'm feeling bad. I'm going to go out and, you know, buy something for
right.
myself.
Exactly.
And then, but it's sobering to have every single item. She makes you have every single item in this huge, huge
yeah.
pile.
Yeah.
And makes you look at it.
Exactly.
And not punishing. Mm-mm. But you can't help but have all this flood of wow.
Wow.
You think of you think about yourself as a kid.
Yeah.
And I mean I didn't have very many clothes as a kid. You
right.
know? I think it was just like anything that would be in the, yeah. I could put it on the side of my bed, really.
Right,
you know?
And that would, yeah.
So maybe there's a, I don't really know, but I used to be a sale shopper, like my mom was.
Right.
She would like go, oh, this is on sale. Well, then it's like getting two then. You might
yeah.
get two. And now it's just like, what the heck?
Yeah. And then, because I know that with Normano's clothes, there were literally three or four tops that I bought him for Father's Day mm-hmm. in the last 2 years
yes.
that he never wore.
Never even wore.
And I think, you know what? I know we want to give people presents. I want to give people gifts, you know?
Yeah.
But what do you do?
Yeah.
And so I don't want to, and I just think to myself, well, I bought them for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
For Goodwill.
For somebody at Goodwill.
For $1.23.
Yeah.
And they're 1, 2, 3 days.
Yeah.
Can I share a grandma story with you? I've got two, but the first one is a grandma laundromat story.
Mm-hmm.
I have my grandma laundromat story. I don't know. Years ago, we were, I guess our grandma was spending some time with us and our washer and dryer must have went or mm-hmm. something had happened mm-hmm. and we decided to go to the laundromat.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is we had a lot of clothes and you said, why don't you and grandma go do laundry at the laundromat? Meaning giving you some time alone in the house for 5 or 6 hours.
That sounds like it could be me.
That could be you. Mm-hmm. So there's one part of doing laundry at a laundromat mm-hmm. where clothes are starting to get dry. And so you take clothes out and they're not all the, you know, all the dryers are not any at the same time. And so you're taking wet clothes and putting them in different dryers and, mm-hmm. you know, so that things kind of, you know, until at the very end, you have one dryer with the remaining wet clothes and they're all drying together. And so I, you know, this one dryer ended, I got all the clothes out that were dried and I had one piece that was slightly wet or damp and I'm going to put it into another dryer that's still going. And I take this clothes and I'm, grandma, this is ours, right? This dryer here is ours. And I swear she is saying yes, but I am not communicating with her well, or we're not communicating because you have a whole row that's yours, but there's somebody next to you that has it. And there's two guys. So I threw it in there and she goes, I told you that was not ours. And I'm like, okay. And it wasn't, it was the guys next to me.
No.
So I have this wet towel on this guy's and they stop and they pull it out. And grandmother could not be more perturbed with me. She was so angry with me that
did
that. And grandma, it's okay. Nothing bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, Julie, I told you that wasn't mine. I'm like, I didn't remember you telling me. I mean, we're trying to communicate, but I'm not understanding you. And, you know, I have had those moments in my life where I'm talking with somebody going, literally, you are saying words, but my brain is not comprehending truly your message.
I get that. That's how it sounds when Norm talks
yeah.
to me.
And so, but so that was kind of funny because yeah. you said something about folding yeah. clothes with your mom.
Yeah.
I think she liked getting out of the house when she came and visited us. And
yes.
so we'd go out, her and I together, and do laundry, maybe go have lunch or whatever. But we had a little miracle this week.
We did.
And we contributed to the fact that we have been clearing up space.
Decluttering, yes.
Decluttering.
Yes.
In a very formal way and a big way we're decluttering.
Mm-hmm.
And you want
to
share?
So this is our miracle story.
Yeah. Do you want me to say it or do you want to
say it? Sure, you say.
Okay. Well, here's our miracle story. When my grandmother passed away, well, when she was living, for years, I don't know, decades, as long as I've been alive, she wore the same gold bracelet. And she got this bracelet from her Aunt Annie when her Aunt Annie passed away. And her Aunt Annie got this from the, you know, telephone company for working there for 30 years or whatever it was. Instead of getting a gold watch, she got a gold bracelet. Mm-hmm. And when her Aunt Annie died, Loretta inherited this bracelet and she never took it off. Mm-mm. And I must have heard growing up 1,000 times, like, oh, Julie, this bracelet's yours.
Even as a little girl, yes, like 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes. When I die, this bracelet will be yours.
Yes.
I'm giving it to you.
And it said inside it was Aunt Annie on there. And mm-hmm.
It said Anne.
Anne, yes, yeah. Not Aunt Annie. That wouldn't be here from the.
No, but it did from the company.
Yeah. And so my whole life, I just always thought I was going to get this bracelet.
And her whole life, she never took that bracelet off. I never saw her without that bracelet.
She always had it on.
Yeah, always.
Always had it on.
Every single day of her life.
Probably at some point,
2009, because Mama died in 2011.
2009, at some point, I realized this bracelet is no longer on her wrist.
And she had been in and out of the hospital and in the nursing home during this time.
And I go, oh, no. And I didn't bring it up too much with her. And the nursing home said, well, you're supposed to take all valuables and take them away. And I'm like, I'm not going to take
this bracelet that she's had
her whole life
and take it off of her now.
Take it off her now.
No, I just refused.
I was just going to let this happen, it was going to go down.
Yeah.
And so forth. And so at that point, I just was like, oh, this is just so sad for me.
Yeah.
That we don't know where it went to. We called the hospital.
Yeah.
And they had no idea.
We called the hospital, the nursing
home. Yeah. And nobody knew anything. And it's like, okay. You know, that's
so we sort of resigned ourselves to the fact. And she at this point was kind of out of it.
Yeah.
So she never said, oh, where's my bracelet to any of us. And I think in 2010 or 11, she came up here in a nursing home.
Yes.
And of course she didn't have it
there
either.
Right. But it was just this idea that bracelet my whole life.
Your whole life.
It was my inheritance from my grandmother.
Yeah.
The thing that, you know, you hear all these daughters and granddaughters like, oh, one day I'm going to get my grandmother's this. And like my grandmother Peters, from my dad's mom, I have her wedding ring. And my aunt Irma took my grandma's wedding ring and melted it down into a little pendant, like a leaf pendant, for a necklace. And that's what she did. And I'm like, oh, I have that, you know. And so... Not that I would melt this down, because I wouldn't, this bracelet, but I always thought, oh, I'm going to get this from my grandma. Yeah, that'd be so sweet. And then I will pass it down to, I don't know, my kid, to Gregory's kids, and I'll keep the tradition going that way. A decade later, mm-hmm. we get it
Sunday.
And then we get a letter. We open the mail up, and we get a letter from your brother. And it was, well, first of all, you play a trick on me because you went out with Dad and then you come back in and I go, hey, you called me. And Dad's like, meet me in the garage. We want to show you something. I'm like, okay. So I go out in the garage and I said, what'd you forget? Nothing. And you're like, Julie, you're never going to guess what I got in the mail and you're never going to guess in a million years. And I said,
Is it bad? That's what you said.
Is it bad?
The first thing you said.
And like, no, it's not bad. It's good. I'm like, okay. You're like, close your eyes, put your hand out.
I think I said also, I wanted to say, I hope I said that you will never forget this day for the rest of your life.
Yes. I will never forget this day the rest of my life.
Yeah. And now I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, okay, that's a pretty big statement. Yeah. Pretty bold statement.
It is.
And so you made me put my hand out and close my eyes. And now I'm like, what's she going to put in my hand? And then you put this thing in my hand and covered it with tissue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you're dragging this out, Mom.
I am a little dramatic.
And then finally, I'm like.
But you remembered this you've remembered it perfectly.
I remember it perfectly. Yeah. And it weighs very little. So I could not tell what it was by having it.
Just have a flat hand. No.
Yeah. And then you took the tissue off and I'm like. And I was shocked. It was grandmother's bracelet.
Yeah.
And I'm like shocked.
And then you started crying.
I did a little bit. I cried more when I was alone. I was just more shocked, you know, than anything. And then we read Uncle John's note about how just by chance, because back in the day in Belleville, the D'Antonis must have been known for everything.
Notorious.
Notorious, thank you.
The notorious OGs. ODs.
Because somebody who had worked at the hospital.
Who was now at this point working.
Dated one of your brothers. Mm-hmm. Knew by the last name. Like, oh, I know those people. I know that family. Mm-hmm. And befriended your brother's wife on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And got a hold of her and say, hey, I used to date, you know, Mark, and I have your, you know, your mother-in-law's stuff. Can I send them to you? And she said, yes. Or they picked him up. I don't know how it went down.
John picked it up at the hospital.
Picked it up at the hospital.
It was a hospital, not a nursing home.
At the hospital.
Right.
From
2009.
I mean, they were at the hospital.
Yeah.
They were at the hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, how amazing is this?
Yeah.
This whole story.
And so John, when John got it, he knew that mom had promised you this.
Yeah.
And so
that was really
he sent
sweet. Because I think at one point I said to John, I go, the only thing I'm really sad about is that in, you know, somehow in this in taking care of grandma, somehow she lost her bracelet.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you get, and he goes, this is back in the day. You gotta be kidding me. It's gone. I go, yeah. And we tried to call him and look for it. And nobody knew where it was at. Mm-hmm. So I almost feel that, I mean, what a miracle.
Yeah.
A decade later.
Right.
A decade later, no one had to do anything. No one had, the hospital didn't have to call. Mm-mm. Thank you guys for being notorious, and having a really memorable name.
Yeah.
Just this idea that the bracelet has come back home.
Yes.
And it feels good. Now, you've had an interesting conversation with your aunt about it that was tainted a little bit. You know.
Oh, my aunt Roseanne, who's like 91 years old. I told her the story.
Yeah.
And
the sweet story.
Sweet story. And we'd only had it, the bracelet, maybe a day or two.
Exactly.
Because she called in the middle of the deep freeze.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, does Julie have it on right now? I said, no, Julie put it in. And because we've been studying this Marie Kondo method,
yeah,
anything that's sentimental, you wouldn't put it in a. And Julie had this green glass sentiment box.
Right.
And I just know that, you know, you had stored it there until we could get to the jeweler.
Right.
Because it needed to be cleaned. And
yeah.
And we wouldn't look
and
at
it. And
it
also has a clasp. I have no idea how to work. It's an interesting clasp.
Exactly. And at the moment I said that, my aunt started just like screaming at me.
Yeah.
All the way from California.
Yeah.
And just like 10 minutes of screaming.
Yeah.
And finally, when she stopped, there was just this really awkward silence. And I didn't say anything. I was like, you know, what do you do after that tirade?
Yeah.
You know? And then she says, I guess you can tell I have a strong opinion of this.
Right.
You know, which was, do not store this. Put this on her wrist.
And wear it every day.
And then she said, if she does not want to wear it, chop off her arm. Send her arm here, and then I will take it off her arm, and I will wear it. That's my 91-year-old aunt.
Like,
now,
damn.
Now you know my family.
Yeah, exactly.
Merry effing Christmas.
Yeah. Like, dang, I've only had it for a few days, all right?
That's what my kids grew up with, this kind of stuff.
I'm like, whoa.
I said, well, I've had it for 2 days. I haven't even, you know, we're in the deep
freeze. And thank you for taking my sweet story and my sweet.
Yeah,
and
I then, was trying to, I call it the miracle story.
Yeah, the miracle story and turning it into.
Now I'm scarred.
Yeah.
Turning it to
and reminding
niece
me
abuse.
That oh yeah, that's right, you know,
that's right. I forget you're my mom's sister.
Yeah. Exactly. I remember this now. You know, that's how it is, but it's still a Christmas miracle. I'm gonna count it that.
Yeah, because it's
a tidying miracle.
Yeah, tidying up miracle.
Yeah, I'm gonna call it that
because we created the space for this thing to come into our lives again to come.
And
I'm gonna
back say in. That there is I now believe that things that you thought never could come true can come true.
Yes.
I would never have put money on the fact that this bracelet would come
honestly,
back to me.
Honestly, me neither. In all my intuition.
And I have thought about it many, many times over the years.
Me too.
Like, I just, where would it have gone?
And it came home.
And it came home.
It came home.
You know? And you wonder, and nobody took it. Nobody took it Mm-mm. for themselves Mm-mm. or, you know, and so forth. So,
and we had all sorts of stories.
Yeah. You said something that it meant something more, like it was a sweet sentiment. Like this was your mom giving you a nod, like, hello, Chrissy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hello.
I did. I thought it was my mom sort of like forgiving me in some sense.
Right.
Like for all the crap I put her through.
And I thought, what crap? And you're like, well, you, Julie. Oh, that's right. That was a painful time.
Well, more like, you know, like when the story you told, like when she came up to visit.
Yeah.
And I'd like, hey, guys, why don't we wash every single clothes? You guys can go to the laundromat and then go out to dinner and then maybe go to the show and maybe go to the drive-in. I was like,
you're like, all right, Mom. Can't get it. I get it. Well, you know what? That family has, they're very strong, opinionated people.
Yes.
And it's all good if you share the same opinion.
Yeah.
And otherwise, it's all good you just fail.
Otherwise, you're just assaulted.
Right. Or you have to have a very strong
ego
shell.
Yeah.
No, not an ego, just shell. I don't have a strong ego, but yeah. My shell's
two
pretty
penis
strong.
Were walking down the street, and one was
assaulted.
Thank you.
Well, hey, that's our show, girlfriend.
Wow.
It was fast. So how was it?
Wow. It was great.
It was great. Let's do it in a funny voice.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was great. If we do it in a funny voice, it counts, right?
It does.
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.